Hey, it's Trudy, and if it's the weekend, you're listening to the Best Of. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I love Best Of. Extra work.
You love it so much that we hand-selected some great ones this weekend.
Yeah, we're trying to go back in time a little bit to the early days of the podcast for all the new listeners. So this is going back about two years. Been doing it for 2 years.
2 years?
Oh, this is two years. What is wrong with us?
Right. But
so what do we have today, Trudy?
Well, a guy who circled the sky for years in Detroit in Skycrib, delivering everything but the traffic with Marge Schott and Bob Hope and others.
Mr. Keith Jackson, lots of them. Yeah. Jackson, yeah.
Yes. Along riding shotgun with him. And he is TC.
And then following TC, another bit from ages ago, where the newspaper came up with a list of people that owed a lot of money
to
the city of Detroit.
I remember this girl.
For parking. And naturally, we had to track them down and let them know that they owed money.
Yeah. And actually, I think they took it a little better than I expected.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, you have that big of a bill. Why bother paying it? And then finally, the last thing is a great story about what really goes on at Burning Man in the Orgy Dome. Which, two words that go together just beautifully. Orgy and dome.
Dome.
I mean, dome is probably the best place to have an orgy.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to burn that place down afterwards.
Why didn't they do that with the Silver Dome? Just turn it into the local orgy
dome.
So that's what we have for Best Of today. If you have any suggestions going forward, stuff you want to hear put together, maybe you couldn't find them.
It is going to improve your mind.
Absolutely.
Listening to all this material from back then.
And if it, or it could rot your mind, either or. Either way, it's a win.
Count on it.
There's the chopper.
Oh my
TC's Lord. Got a new chopper.
It's a drone.
Listen to that chopper, man.
Wow.
You're caller number two. Try again.
Is that Nick? What's going on?
25 years.
Can you believe it?
You know, Drew.
Yeah, Drew. Sure.
I was on before you.
With Ken?
Yeah.
For how long?
You know, I'm trying, I want to say I started in 1988.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
87 or 88.
Geez. Wow, that's a long day.
Yeah. And yeah. Is that Trudy?
Hey, TC. How you doing?
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Mark's here. I know you've talked to Mark many, 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 many times.
I used to dial up the phone, put you on hold.
And then pick up and go, I don't think they're going to get to you today.
How many times do we make you late for? Who is after us?
I know Cleveland was for a while.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah,
I even gave you guys like a big buffer, you know. It's like, yeah, because you know we always went long anyway.
But
then you know it just got more and more like, oh wow, you know, we're just now you have to play commercials because we're way behind.
Oh, we got way behind. Oh, you know what? I was looking up Drew, by the way, your son, Drew.
Uh-huh.
And this is driving me crazy because I remembered you had built that indoor basketball gym. And I remember you talked about Drew's basketball all the time. I didn't even know Drew was a baseball prodigy. I thought he was a basketball guy.
Well, he was good in both, you know. But I built that basement the first. The one that I built in the early 90s was a smaller indoor gym. But, you know, we always hit baseballs down there. I always had some kind of net set up and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
And then I built a house later that I built this pretty good-sized gym that they ended up featuring on HGTV.
Oh. We saw it online. It was quite a story.
Yeah. And so, but it was funny because Drew was like, you know, 14 or something, and they did this story. And Mike Rowe was the host of the show.
Oh, wow.
And they show him throwing, you know, in this pitching tunnel that I designed. And they said, Mark's son, Drew, is a good baseball player. Hopes to, you know, keep improving or something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty fine. And, you know, he's on there and he's got braces. He's like, oh, you know, my friends come over and play. It's a lot of fun.
Now, when did his basketball, did he play high school basketball?
Yeah.
And he was a big scorer, wasn't he?
Well, he was pretty good, yeah. But, you know, I mean, at that point, I always said that when he was born and I saw that he was white, he was going to be a baseball player.
Was he recruited for? I know he's drafted out of high school. Was
he's drafted. I saw 34th round out of high school, but then he was picked 10th.
He went to Stanford. Was he recruited for basketball at all, or just baseball?
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple things, you know, letters and stuff for basketball, but he didn't play basketball his senior year of high school, just to concentrate on baseball. But he would have been a really high pick out of high school, but he had indicated that he was going to go to college. So, you know, nobody wanted to waste a high pick.
Really? And you want him to go to college, or he wanted to go to college, or both?
I mean, kind of both. Although, you know, once the Yankees took him, you know, and it was like, yeah, so you're going to college, right? Yeah. Because, you know, when you let everybody know you're going to Stanford, you know, a lot of teams just like they just totally back off. But the Yankees still took a flyer. It's like, well, you know, because then the draft rules were different. So you could pay anybody anything. And so they called and they said, well, you know, we'll give you first round money. It's fine.
Wow.
And so, you know, that went all the way kind of to the deadline, but it worked out great. Yeah, then he was 10th overall a couple of years later.
And now you must be having a blast with this. How many games do you go to a year?
None.
What?
You do too.
No, I don't.
You don't go to games? Was he
nervous?
No, I
can't stand it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's just,
it's bad parenting.
You know, I went When he was with the Nationals and they would come into, and we lived in Indianapolis, then, you know, I'd go to Cincinnati and St. Louis, you know, and maybe go to D.C. once a year. But, you know, when you go on the road, it's really bad. I mean, you know, people sit around you just killing them.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And
well, being a closer too, it's not exactly a low pressure part of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's kind of what, you know, it's the old be careful what you wish for, because that kind of, I mean, it's just taking the fun out of me, the anxiety of you know, hoping he does well is just overwhelming, you know. So,
well, he's done pretty well. I know he's had some ups and downs, but God, he's had some great years.
Now, did you name him after Drew?
Of course, Trudy.
Yes,
on.
even though I didn't know him.
You knew
I
you
said,
would.
You know, I sit there. It was, let's go back to that cheat 87. I said, you know, what's a great baseball name?
Yeah.
And I just started flipping through the record books from Virginia Tech, and I said, wow, look at that. I did name him just Drew, not Andrew, because I always, you know, I just liked the name Drew, and I always wanted the whole thing of, well, they're not, you know, they're not booing, they're saying Drew. So.
Yeah, what is it? Why anyone named Lou? I don't even get that.
Yeah. That's easy
it
to
persists.
Do. It's easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a couple of years ago, I wrote an article for Sports Illustrated.
Ooh.
Online. Ooh. Somewhere. I mentioned that. I got more email from people. It's like, you didn't really do that. I'm like, yeah, I did.
Well, but Mark, you've been out of television, and you did the lottery thing for a long time in Indy, too, but you've been retired for 5 years?
Yeah.
I'm stunned by that. Now, I know you were doing great. You had all these radio jobs. How many? You were on five or six stations, right?
I think 10.
Oh, that many?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was doing 10. I remember mid through the late 90s, I had 14 jobs.
Holy. Wow. Was it hard to be an anchor? Because you were a sports anchor, of course, in Indianapolis. Was it hard to do the anchoring job with all these part-time jobs? Which paid pretty full-time money, by the way.
Well, you know how much I was making at Ritz?
It was pretty good, though. You know, for a half-hour day.
But I was making three times that in Milwaukee.
Oh, really? Ooh. Riff was... Riff was...
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway.
Bob and Brian, right?
Yeah. Huh. But What did you ask me? I got carried away with that.
Well, if it was hard to do your full-time job when you had so many...
Well, it was actually not that tough, because except for sleep. But, you know, with the TV sports, I didn't have to be at work till like 2:45 or 3. And then what I actually did, excuse me, I had it in my contract that I could go home for dinner. And so I would go home and I'd play with Drew every night and then head back, you know, put him to bed and then go back into work and do the 11 and then, you know, get up at 5 o'clock the next morning. So it was a really short night. I had very precise sleeping patterns, you know, it really was so much fun to do those call-ins.
And did you do them from home? I always wondered that.
No, I went in every morning to, because I was on the Bob and Tom show.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
So,
where's the Bob and Tom show at right now? I've heard weird things, like one of them isn't even in the show anymore, but it's still the Bob and Tom show. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, Mike Clark could not be reached for comment. Yeah, it's Bob and Tom, but Bob is retired.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, the name of the show stayed the same.
Does everyone know that Bob retired?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe there's like half the audience didn't realize Bob was gone or something.
Well, that depends on their blood alcohol level. But.
Yeah.
The new guy changed his name to Bob. So he's,
yeah, that'd be the way to do it. Is there a new guy?
Well, they hired a new guy recently. I think I don't live there, and I don't get up and listen to radio anymore. So I don't know, but they hired somebody. But he's more of a, you know, a sidekick type guy. I think it's primarily Tom and Chick and Christy.
No, is Tom the kind of guy that will do this till the end, till he can no longer?
I think so.
Okay.
What? Yeah. You know, and I applaud people that want to do that. I just never, I just was always working. You know, I was working as much as I could because I knew there'd be a day that nobody wanted me to do anything.
Well, you put about.
You know, I mean, that's the nature of our business.
Yeah. Well, you put about every 5 years, you put 10 years into. I mean, you were working like a mad dog.
Yeah.
Right. I'm getting up in the morning. Yeah.
But that show, I mean, Bob and Tom has done so well, and I know they got a million affiliates. And do they still have all the syndication and stuff?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many stations they have, but
yeah, because I haven't heard of any let up in that show. I mean, it sounds like it's as successful as it always was. It's just weird.
I think it's turning on.
Well,
you know, I did that show as well as all the call-ins until I took the Fox Sports Radio morning show somewhere around 2000, I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking at the affiliate list here. It's pretty lengthy. Uh-huh. Do you miss
so
it
I did
all?
That. That's when I well, pretty much, I was doing it out of that building, but I didn't do as much on the show as I used to then. I kind of backed it off. And then in 2005, I went to XM and did the, MLB Network.
Oh yeah, we heard you.
Morning show.
We heard you on the. Yeah, we used to pick you up, and you know, you were pretty much doing your thing. Did you do many characters in that? Because I didn't never heard enough to know.
No, I didn't do any.
Nothing really. Couldn't
no,
talk. Couldn't talk to yourself.
I just wanted straight baseball. Wow. I was on with Larry Bowa and Buck Martinez.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good guys?
Great guys.
Well, I will say this about that, as far as I'm not wanting you to do the characters. We posted on social media, of course, that you're going to be on today, and there seems to be some kind of crazed and wild enthusiasm to hear certain people, well, virtually everyone in Sky Crib. So I hope you got a couple voices left in you.
I got, you know, first let me ask you this, Drew. Why are you so hard to get a hold of? I tried when I was in, I left you messages at the radio station. Never called me back.
Really?
And I tried, yeah, and I tried emailing you a couple different times. And,
I know. It pains me. It pains me because I know what you're saying, but I never got a message, honestly.
Well, here's what sucks. I was in Detroit for the All-Star game.
Oh, in 06.
And yeah. And then, for the World Series. And so I was like, oh yeah, I go see Drew, you know, just,
probably my fault.
Yeah, those lousy producers, man. Yeah. I'm surprised the hotline wasn't the same number.
Was
it the 399 number?
That was
the bitter end.
Ever. I think.
Yeah, but does Mark keep hotlines?
No. we always called to him.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, you know what? I still have that nightmare of trying to get through to one of the stations and I can't, or that it's like 9 o'clock and I realize I've spaced calling all of them.
I'll tell you, my nightmare was that those Bobby Knight touch tones were going to miss.
Oh, those are so perfect.
God, you...
Yeah, I couldn't do that on cell. So.
Yeah.
We had the old touch tone phone there and it was, boy, I had that rhythm down.
You did. No, you never, I don't recall ever hearing the better part of a swear word. And yet, so many times, especially with Bobby Knight. And, you know, we thought we had all the characters done. We were talking about it yesterday. Well, you know, Bobby Knight, Keith Jackson, Marge Schott, Lou Holtz.
Marge is my favorite, yeah. Hi, honey.
Do you remember, man, this would have been at some point. Who would be the radio and TV critic for the Free Press, like Smitty, in the mid-90s?
John Smintek, I believe.
We
and Bob Talbert. Bob Talbert, too. Could have been
Well,
Bob.
It may have been Bob Talbert. That kind of rings a bell. But Fred McLeod was doing sports. And so one day, you know, he goes, hey, TC, I need to call you later today.
That's pretty good.
So like, okay. So he calls me and goes, hey man. And you know, Fred was doing at the time the Pistons TV.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was on, I think Greg Kelser was doing color.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls me and goes, hey man, it's Fred. Hey, we're gonna play in Indianapolis next week, and Kelcher can't be there. You want to do color? So I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, great.
God, you have Fred's voice down, man.
So I do the 5, I do the 6, and then I'm doing color for the Pacers-Pistons game at 7. So, you know, it's kind of a typical mid-season NBA game, and all of a sudden, Fred goes, hey, Coach Bob Knight joins us. What do you think of this? What do you think of this game, Coach? I said, well, you know, you people are really nice to have me here, but quite frankly, this just doesn't quite have the atmosphere at college basketball. Of course, I'm sure you know a hell of a lot more about the game of basketball than I could ever know. And so Fred's like doing this whole interview with Bob Knight during the game. And so the next morning in the Free Press, it's like this article from whoever the TV critic was that says, well, you know, that Fred McLeod handled Bob Knight in an interview like no one ever had. You know, he was getting congenial comments from the IU coach and da 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 da.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow. What a compliment to your impersonation, though.
Yeah, no, that one was really, Bob Knight was right there, dead on. I mean, I was a big Keith Jackson fan, but Bobby Knight was stellar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd forgotten about that. So when I was trying to find your phone number a few years ago, article came up in a Google search.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, that's hilarious. How ridiculous. It's probably one of the sports media guys.
You avoiding me, Drew, has paid off.
Now, I would think, did Bobby know that you did that in person? I mean, could you, I'm sure, cross paths with him?
Oh, yeah. I used to have to interview him.
Yeah. Did he know that you did the impersonation of him? Did he have any clue?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever interview him in his voice?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You know, I'm stupid, Trudy, but not, you know.
I find it hard to believe that he would like anyone doing him, but I don't know.
With the expletives, yeah.
She gave him an edge. Well, as if he didn't have an edge.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he never really said anything about it, but I know he knew that I did it. Because, you know, I hosted his golf tournament for like 15 years. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
What about Coach Holtz?
I'll tell you what, that's a sad story about Coach getting let go by ESPN. But, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, I didn't realize the pinnacle of my career was going to be when I was a coach at Cox.
How could you let a guy go that has a 2x4 for a spine?
Geez, I forgot completely about that, Drew. It says you remember Bob Vila did the surgery because I didn't have a spine. I was born with an unfortunate bliss, but somewhat of a comb over here in my recent age. But these young cocks, I tell you what, they were just so. I'd probably still be coaching there. At the University of South Carolina University, if it wasn't for the fact that those kids were so young. I mean, I don't know if Trudy remembers, but we there in those Gatorade containers, these kids were so young, we had formula. So it was.
How's your son Skip doing?
Oh, Skip, I'm not even sure where he is now.
And there wasn't any nepotism involved in Skip getting jobs.
My middle child was Tuma. I didn't know if you were aware of that.
What's his name?
Tuma.
Tuma. Yeah. So he had Skip Tuma Lou. So that was her.
Wow.
Wow. Not even the courtesy laugh.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming. Oh, I was going to tell you, though, was somebody on social media was talking about Emo, and I'd completely forgotten about Emo. Emo took on new life on our show. I mean, Emo became really big in spite of the fact there's only so many ways to say all those things. Somehow, some way, Emo lived on and on and on and on and on.
And in my son, Joey, to this day, too, uses Emo-isms.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Joey is fantastic. Is he fond of... the cut of life, you know? Trudy is the greatest race car driver in the world, you know? And wouldn't mind showing you that... how you say, perhaps, pick the pumpkin patch, you know? He's fantastic. He's fantastic for sure.
God. Did you have one that you just didn't like to do, but you felt like you had to keep doing it because the material was good? Was there a voice or one you didn't really want to do?
No, that's a good question. Nobody's ever asked.
Yeah.
No,
I don't think so.
What was your favorite, though? It's got to be Howard, maybe?
Actually, I think Nick.
Nick, yeah.
Yeah, Nick was
he
great.
Was just, you know, he's just like every dumbass I ever worked with. I mean, it was just like, you just never had to worry about material with Nick, you know?
And everyone has heard a Nick. Everyone
yeah.
has heard that ass on the radio.
Well, and, you know, not only was he the goof on the radio, but he was also that guy you work with, you know? That you were just always like, what's that guy do? You know, why is that guy here? Who hired him? What did he do? Why is he living in a car in the parking lot? You know,
I always liked Marge.
Marge, yeah, perfect. Marge was great.
Marge was the best.
That was one of. I tell you what, when I interviewed Marge, and one time, the Reds came to Indianapolis. Play an exhibition game in the middle of the year. They used to do that, and they came to Indianapolis, and so Marge was there. So I'm doing the 5 and the 6 live.
Did Shotzi travel? And did Shotzi the dog travel with Marge?
I don't think Shotzi the dog was there.
Okay.
So, by the way, you know, who names their dog? I mean, that's like me naming my dog Marky.
Yeah, I know, it's really ridiculous.
Marky, yeah.
But it wasn't just Shotzi. No. Wasn't there Shotzi 1, 2, and 3 or something?
Yeah. She just named them, you know, after, you know, it's like some Georgia Bulldog mascot, you know. They just keep naming the thing with a letter. You know, the red PR guy comes up and says, well, Mrs. Schott says she can talk to you at 5:50. I said, oh, great. So we're getting ready for this. And here she comes in, she comes over and just reeks of Terrington. You know, I mean, who smokes Terrington? You know? And just, you know, just everything you could imagine, the yellow fingernail, yellow teeth and, you know, the bad Dutch boy haircut.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, okay, well, you know, here we go. So my cameraman, you know, it's a live shot. So he just got it on his shoulder. And so I said, Marge Schott, owner of the Cincinnati Reds, joins us. And it's really nice to see you. We appreciate you bringing the Reds here for Indianapolis night. Well, you know, honey, I am really happy to be here. And as soon as she said, well, you know, honey, I see that camera on the shoulder start shaking. And I'm hearing in my ear, you know, the control room, and those guys are like, yeah, tell Dennis to hold the shot. Yeah, I'm just going to stop. Right. and then of course then they're going, oh my God, she's gonna start smoking.
Well, I bet she smoked at Riverfront probably whenever.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
She was all over it. The first time I went, it was like 1992 or 1993, I went to cover the National League Championship Series in Cincinnati. And I got a hot dog. I'm up in the press box. Yeah, so I got like a hot dog and a bag of chips and a Coke. So I, you know, grab them off the table, and this guy goes, it'll be $4.50. And I said, what? It'll be $4.50. Oh, yeah, that's great. Guy behind me goes, no, really. You know, you got to pay for it here. What? I mean, now it's kind of kind of commonplace a little bit more because things are very well catered, and sometimes they charge you for it. But then nobody charged. I mean,
nobody.
Especially, you know, for Cracker Jack and just crap in a baseball stadium.
She broke the mold.
I'm trying to remember. Didn't she want to eliminate the entire scouting department at one time?
You know, what do these scouts do, honey? I mean, you know, I don't need to know how good the players are on the other team. And I, you know, why do we need to know what our kids in the minor leagues are doing? Why? You know, we can save a lot of money on that, honey.
Yeah, March had a lot of money-saving ideas. I'm trying to think. Scouting department. Well, then she wanted to cut a couple of those guys she called N-words and a couple of high-paid N-words.
Well, how about remember when the umpire died on opening day?
I'm trying to remember.
And Marge re-gifted flowers. Marge had gotten you know, bouquets from fans and supporters and stuff for opening day. And so she's like giving, you know, she like pulls the card and changes the card and gives them to the umpires. I'm so sorry, honey. Happy I mean, my deepest sympathy.
Oh, my. And then the Nazi regalia, wasn't she collecting Nazi memorabilia or something?
I mean, really, honey, you know, just... I thought that the swastika would be much more of a look of a trademark for my team than one of those logos with the batter that nobody seems to know.
What did you like about all that Nazi stuff? What is it? I can't imagine.
Well, you know, Hitler... say what you want, but he was a good leader. And, you know, he was a baseball player. Were you aware of that?
What? No, I didn't know that.
He went through his entire life with a one-ball count.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't tell me. It's the corns.
Oh,
I thought her corns were acting up.
You know, my toenails still look like bugles, honey. And those are getting... Once in a while, I'll find them at Sam's Club, but they're just... That one got the big screen.
Did you vote for Trump, I guess?
Well, you know, honey, actually, because I'm dead, I went and hold Democrat ticket.
Very good, Marge.
Thanks, honey.
Hey, let's see, who else would we need to hear from? Mark, Keith Jackson? There's a lot of Bob Hope fans around here, too.
Oh, Bob Hope.
Yeah, you've got to let Bob Hope play the film. Now, isn't he in Bob Hope special world or something? Every once in a while, you'll be watching some sort of PBS. Isn't that crazy? You see one of the Bob Hope specials come up, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I just saw one the other night. Let me see. Who was my very, very special guest? Hey, it was Mr. Norman Lear. Hey, how about that hat? Isn't it wool? Isn't that something? How about that all of that Archie Bunker? Isn't he crazy?
It's the voice going up and down that just kills me. Yeah, the low part. I love the low part.
It's like the thing you don't realize about Hope until you hear it, that he did that.
Well, then, you know, our Bob Hope always hit on the chicks real hard. And I didn't realize until I read a couple books that Bob Hope was just as bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got that book. I couldn't believe it.
He was horrible.
He was, and he was a dick to all the people who worked for him, too.
Yeah, that was too bad.
I mean, you know, so a Greek, isn't that crazy? Move the car. Move the car.
Poor cue card guy.
Oh, man. I just remember the was the lowering into the swimming pool? Was that the get in the diving board?
Oh,
that's a Bob Hope joke, wasn't it? You don't go into the swimming pool. All the fat jokes. Wasn't that Bob Hope? in Sky Crib? Have I lost my mind?
I think so.
Bob?
Bob, all right?
Bob?
Bob?
We lose TC?
Oh.
Sounds like he's still there.
Huh.
You still there? You fucking with us?
I'm really worried.
Hey, are you there, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, sorry, I had to change my depend. Hey.
Oh, yeah, me, man.
Hey, so a Roman walked into a bar, and he held up two fingers, and he said, I'll take five beers. Hey, explanations available on the George Gobel Show right after. Hey, you know something? And it's Chris. Hey, Miss Joey Heatherton is trying to show.
I think Mark's operating without his usual lists, I'm convinced, but they're coming back to him.
Well, I think the only other one we need to hear from is Howard.
Oh, what about Keith?
Mr. Keith Jackson.
Keith Jackson.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Keith Jackson. Which one was it? Here's number one, Duffy. Pretty. You better believe it. Oh, my birthday. Oh, Mr. Kip Jackson just woke up from one of them turbulent pump dreams now. Oh, I sat in there and Mr. Frank Bros was there wearing nothing but a pair of them Reveal coaching shoes. Oh, he had his razor back ready. Yes, indeed, I did it. You better believe it. Oh, he was a horse.
Oh. Those Homa dreams are getting awfully frequent.
You better believe it. I tell you what, Mrs. Kip Jackson is not going to be doing any kind of touchdown dance to the ends of now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, but I'll tell you. Mr. Kip Jackson's been approached by the good people at Viagra.
The people where?
Viagra.
Viagra.
A little blue,
Viagra.
A little blue pill.
You say Viagra again?
Viagra.
Viagra.
Viagra. Well, that'd been quite an endorsement, but that would have been a little controversial, maybe.
Oh, just put one of those Viagras down. 5, 10, 15, 20.
I still don't know how he's going
to... That little donkey was taking a ride now.
I don't know how he's going to endorse the product when he says it like that.
Viagra.
I'm convinced he's never said that.
He gets to the end of his career. He gets to the end of his career, and you're going, what'd he say?
I know.
What?
Yeah, it was bad. Viagra.
Oh, tell me what, Bob Greasy.
Keith?
Keith?
Huh?
I think he dozed off.
He's at the old sports cast business. But hello again to everyone.
All right. Yeah. Howard.
What?
It's great to talk to you.
Who the hell is calling me at this hour? Don't you realize that this is the Wheel Jeopardy hour?
The Wheel Jeopardy hour, that's right. I'm sorry.
When I simply clean up here at the old sportscast.
No, I'm sorry about that, Howard.
Hold on. Who is Desmond Dempster? All right. Please, again.
I don't know if Howard will remember this, but there was a trivia question that was asked in the Stump Howard segment, and the person had the right answer, but he mispronounced the last name. And referred to him as Rusty Cunts instead of Rusty Koontz.
Of course I remember. I've never forgotten anything that's ever happened to me in my life.
And the young man answered, Rusty Cunts, and I immediately replied, never met one.
Brilliant, Howard. Just brilliant. Hey, is Muhammad Ali, have you bumped into him again, I would think, maybe?
Oh, he's been up here, you know. Every hand he sees, he shakes. Oh, you scar. You scar. Hang on.
Okay.
For God's sake, put some clothes on. I'm on the radio. Lady Godiva coming by.
Lady Godiva?
Writing secretariat.
What's the chance of that, my God?
Well, you know, I mean, they're all up here, for goodness sake.
That's wild.
Lots of arrivals since we last spoke.
Yes. Many.
So many arrivals.
Any surprises of who's up there?
Well, a couple. Mussolini.
Mussolini. Yeah.
He played the victim card pretty well.
Yeah, that's a shock. Mussolini. Damn.
He didn't know. He claims he didn't know.
Someone believed him.
He didn't know. A lot of rock stars up there now.
Yeah, this year.
This last year.
Quite a few, of course. Michael Jackson just incessantly playing over in the children's section.
I'm sorry. That's terrible.
Drives me nuts. But yes, we've had quite a few. Of course, we're looking forward to the Beatles.
The Beatles. Did Prince make it up there?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh. Wow.
There's no such thing in heaven as the color purple.
What about David Bowie?
David Bowie, not unlike his life on Earth, is going both ways. 6 months here, 6 months there.
No shit. Wow. He's still reinventing himself? Can you do that?
Of course. Of course. He first got up here, he was playing the organ every Sunday. Now he's talking with the Bonnie Piper. Well, you know, sometimes it's just stupid.
Man.
You know, I got an email today that asked me if I was going to start reading the phone book.
Reading the phone book.
Reading the phone book. Do you remember when I got, and I was like, okay, you got me. I don't know what you're talking about. And the guy said, when you were George Blaha, you would just start reading the phone book.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I forgot about that completely.
I have to believe there's supplies that you used to have. Didn't you? Must have had some master list of every word for MO's use for certain things. You had hundreds of ways of describing screwing or.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, I thought so.
Now. George Blaha, I did. I used to just take the yellow pages and somehow tie in different stuff. And I can remember doing plugs for businesses around, and you guys would get the freebies, and I would never get crap.
Yep, George. George is still doing it, man. He's still out there.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah. Still doing Michigan State football. Michigan State basketball. Well, he doesn't. Wait, yeah, he does do basketball, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't. Does not do basketball.
Pistons. That's right. Yeah, he couldn't do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, and Fred's doing the Cavaliers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I know LeBron.
That's dead on.
So, you know, I'm pretty excited. I've never been more excited in my life than you, for sure.
I cannot fucking believe anyone can impersonate Fred McCloud.
It's dead on. That lack of excitement.
That is really good, man. You never did that before.
LeBron takes it on the dribble drive. He just took off from half court and dunked over his head. Yeah, Cavaliers lead by two.
I'm dying to know, amazing. When did you first, did you just do Fred McCloud tonight? Because I swear to God, I've never heard you do Fred McCloud. Did you stumble into that one?
Maybe. I did. I mean, I just started thinking about when we talked to Fred.
Jesus.
It would always be so funny because, you know, I would talk to you and Drew and Mike a lot. And then once in a while, Trudy would be in there, and sometimes Trudy was not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you were Trudy there, I would know that immediately.
Really?
Because you'd say something, and, you know, TC would fall into his ladies man.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
But I would do, like, 10 or 12 minutes, and then all of a sudden Fred would go, hey, TC, What'd you think about the Lions game? Hey, Fred, where you been, Fred?
Fred, by the way, was the, we talked about this a little bit. Fred was really a bad, bad sport when we played softball. He really, I mean, it's amazing when a 40-year-old guy gets that pissed off at a softball game, but he really would get seriously pissed if he popped up or something.
Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, he would chuck bats, and you know, you didn't want to talk to him.
Saved all his energy for that.
Yeah,
that's weird because he's like one of the nicest humans on earth.
No, he is. He's really nice, and I think I remember his wife getting on his ass a little bit, and he started to calm down at the end of the season. But yeah, he was a hothead on the baseball field. Do you talk to Fred at all?
No, I haven't seen him for years.
What basketball?
I used to see him when I was doing, you know, TV sports because, you know, he'd be in town for the games every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been a long, long time since I've gotten to see him.
Hey, what work did you do on broadcast? Because, you know, I'd forgotten I certainly would have thought you could do play-by-play or color. But did you do much color or play-by-play on, I mean, do you ever do Indiana games or Pacers or stuff like that?
No, I did Colts preseason.
Okay.
I was on their radio broadcast for 3 years, but I wasn't doing play-by-play. And then I would do some periodic college basketball, like Butler.
Uh-huh.
And, cool. Yeah, their old conference, I would do some of that once in a while. But most of the time, my schedule kind of kept me from doing that stuff. And then I did the first World Baseball Classic.
Oh, wow, yeah.
When you mentioned the Colts, it just reminded me, I forget you've been out of work for 5 years. I was going to ask you about Jimmy Irsay. He's had an interesting few years.
Yeah.
How long was that? I mean, was that bad when you were still working, or is that something he just kind of lost it here lately? I mean, did you know he was having some problems?
Yeah. I mean, he's had different kinds of issues through the years. Yeah. And, I mean, you knew how he grew up. So
oh, yeah. I knew how he grew up.
You know. Yeah. So that's, yeah.
Oh, that was,
what
was
caused that.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, his father, I don't know. Did you talk to Bob Irsay much?
I talked to him, and you know, whether he was receiving the signals, I don't know.
His mother called him the devil on earth. I mean, he was a royal, just a first class son of a bitch. He stole his father's business, basically. He worked with his father, and he branched off, and he stole all his father's customers and put his father out of business.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was bad.
Jesus.
And he was a multi-millionaire. And, you know, we're playing football one day, and Jimmy says, yeah, my dad's going to buy the Rams today. What? Are you kidding me? Yeah, and he's going to trade him for the Colts.
Like, team.
He is nuts.
And yeah, sure enough, I mean, that, I remember you telling me that story one time, and it's like, who says that? And then it happened.
I know.
You know?
Does that, yeah.
It was nuts.
I mean, who trades a team in a market like L.A. for one in Baltimore? and yet, really, he kind of fell into it. You know, I mean, it's like that was not bad because the Rams just never even they kind of fell from grace after that. You know.
Yeah, it all worked out, but just the idea that he would be bragging to his son about this stuff was just kind of killed me. And his mother was a complete. I shouldn't say this stuff.
Oh, too late.
Oh well. His mother was not. She was a little rough. Put it that way. You probably knew his mother.
Not at all.
Not at all. Oh, okay.
No. By the time they got to Indianapolis, she was out of the picture. So, I knew his second wife, who died probably in the last year or so.
She must have been significantly younger than Bob Hersay, I'm guessing.
No, only 30 or 40 years.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. yeah, we got to move on, Mark, but I tell you, man, it's great to talk to you. I'm glad we got all this stuff in. I can't believe it's 25 years. And I can't believe
I know, that's crazy.
You've been retired for 5. I'm so impressed and,
jealous.
Jealous. Reading up on Drew today. Man, I'm excited for you. I'm just sorry you can't go to the games. Hey, Mark, it's so funny. We haven't done this in a long, long time, but we've gone over again.
What? You know, I was so shocked that you were late calling me.
I knew you would be. I thought for sure you'd make other plans. They're never late. My God. Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, Mark, for coming on. I really appreciate it. I mean, on short notice, and I know you're retired, and you probably got a million things to do. Maybe not.
No, actually, I don't. But, you know, I like you portraying me that way.
Yeah, why not? Well, let's do it again then.
Yeah, anytime. Yeah.
Great,
so, Trudy, are you just a once-a-week contributor? What's your deal?
Usually on Thursday, yeah. I'm allowed to come on Thursday. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to get in trouble with your boss, Trudy.
Oh, no, it's Drew who only allows me on Thursday.
Yeah, right.
I know. Seriously, if you start coming in twice or three times, we're going to go, well, that podcast, sure have a lot of fun over there.
Focused on that podcast.
Yeah. No, I do. I was with Ken for a little while on WCS. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Trudy's the most. Called me a couple of years
ago. Yeah, oh, Kenny?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Trudy's the most steadily employed of all of us.
Oh, thanks.
The only one. The only...
She keeps commercial jobs all the time.
The funniest thing that's happened to me is when I got offered a job in Detroit not too very long ago. So I look at the website of the station to see who had the job currently, and it was Drew Lane.
Oh.
What?
Oh, really?
Oh.
At 105.1?
Oh, wow. We would have been in the same building.
I
want to
hear this story.
Yeah. Bring it, man.
No, I don't, because it's really long. And,
oh, okay.
And yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Oh, that's fascinating.
But it's kind of a...
It's a teaser for next time.
Yeah, so then I was like, I mean, I didn't want to, I wasn't going to, the reason I've always wanted to retire, I thought I would retire when I was 50, and I did it when I was 52, but I would have kept doing it, except that all the stuff we were talking about tonight, we did what we wanted, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I had about a 20-year period there where nobody ever told me anything to do.
Yeah,
those are good times.
Sweet times now.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know what? You know how to do this. You know, do it.
Right.
And if you go too far, we'll let you know. But otherwise, just do your thing.
And we'll have your back. And so, if you go too far.
You know, for 20 years, that's pretty much you kind of get used to doing that. And then all of a sudden, I had like 23-year-olds telling me what to do. Oh. know, yeah. telling me what I needed to do, you know.
Sounds familiar.
And it was like,
oh, boy. Yeah. Well, we got a boogie. But
all right.
Thanks again, man.
Great to hear from everybody.
Yes.
Mark, through you.
Thank you.
Trudy.
See you, TC.
Love you all.
Love you. Bye.
Love you, man. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Should we call a couple of these parking scofflaws?
Sure. Let's try them.
They've run up some pretty good tabs. I mean, one guy's got, let's see, the first guy in the story, his name's Crystal Davis, girl, I guess. She got $6,000 in parking tickets. You think we got her number, Jay?
Yeah.
Let me give it a shot. You know, how do you do it? Is there one place that you're constantly, you know, double parking or one, you know, is it for work or, I mean, there could be a good reason for this. Or it could be just that you park wherever you want, whenever you want, and you don't fill the meters.
Which I kind of like that idea. I'm going to start doing that.
Well,
apparently you don't have to pay anybody anything ever.
No.
You just deal with it after the fact.
You're just in a nice story every year in the paper.
I told you before, I wish I could live that way.
Oh, I know. I've always been too uptight.
No concern.
I've always been way too uptight to live that way. Phone's
dead. Oh, boo.
Man. Okay, this is Kelvin Cousins. Let's see, Kelvin, he's got a pretty good, he owes the city $10,000. He owes more than her.
$10,000.
He's second on the list because he has less tickets, but his tickets are for more money, so I would call him number one. He was on the top parking scofflaws list in 2011, too. He chalked his tickets up to...
Hey, once you make it to the top, you just got to keep going, Drew.
Hell yeah. He chalked his tickets up to immaturity and his inability to pay for parking or parking tickets while he was a student. So what's his excuse now,
immaturity.
5 years later?
Does that excuse work a lot with lawbreakers?
His immaturity? No.
What?
That one doesn't usually pan out too well. His thing got a do-do-do-do.
Yeah,
okay.
I know, that's kind of stupid of us thinking that they're going to be up to date on their phone bill.
We've actually gotten lucky. I mean,
it
takes a few shots. Who's next?
Dante?
No Dante either? Dante, let's see, what's his damage? Oh, Dante Williams of Detroit, 65 tickets, owing $6,419. The address on file for him is a dorm at Wayne State. He was unreachable for comment. Can we reach him for comment?
No. No way.
No?
There's no way we're going to be able to reach him.
So
Curtis. You see the Curtis, the last one?
No, well, we got the businesses.
Oh, Curtis Lyons, 74 tickets for $5,800. He also could not be reached for comment, but he does have a phone number listed.
We got businesses, too.
Okay.
Wait, there's businesses on this
list?
Yeah,
businesses. Apparently, their business wheels are being...
The number you have reached is not in service.
No!
Please check the number and try again.
Try the businesses, Jay.
I like to pretend that these people all canceled their phone and have new phones because this list came out.
They probably do.
They had to get a new phone, a new burner phone.
Are you calling at your service staff of Detroit?
Actually, or Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. This is a weird one. Ian Holdings of Tulsa, Oklahoma has 79 tickets. Now, what is that car?
Huh.
It's a subsidiary of the Enterprise Rental Car Company. Oh.
Thank you for calling Enterprise Holdings. I'm sorry, our offices are closed.
Oh, so if somebody rented the car and then just let it pile up tickets and said, fuck them, it's their problem.
It is renters, yeah. They said they're trying to contact people.
I would think Enterprise would be going after them like crazy.
Absolutely.
A private company to recoup whatever money they can.
Have you ever gotten a parking ticket in a rental car?
No.
I don't think I have either. Wait a second. Have I? No.
You did blow out four tires once.
Yeah, I did do that. But I was insured. I had insurance.
For the only time you've ever insured.
It was like the only time, I swear to God. I was so lucky.
Isn't it bullshit, though, to buy extra insurance for a rental car?
Yeah, they tell you not to do it. They tell you not to do it.
Because your credit card usually covers it anyway.
That's what they said. But for some reason, I was scared because I was on an island in the Caribbean. I just thought, I don't know how things work here. If they say it, I'm doing it.
I was on an island. The land is surrounded by water. They must operate differently.
They want to have planes or boats to get off of.
As it turns out, I mean, they treated him like a king. I mean, they were right there with the four new tires.
Yeah, because they were shocked someone actually bought insurance.
Well, but they gave me wonderful service.
I was going to say, they knew that if they did that for the first time ever, that you would go pass the story along.
Actually, I gave them a tip, too. I think that's why the service was so good. They wanted a tip. Because, you know, everybody lives for a tip on those islands. Okay, big strikeout. No dice.
Oh,
okay. I mean, we're like 0 for 8. This is amazing. These people, they all canceled their phones and got new ones today.
I told you. That's the genius behind these people.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, is this Lamont?
Yeah.
Hey, Lamont. This is Drew and Mark. We're calling from our podcast. It's an internet radio show, and we're just calling to find out about your parking tickets. They put you guys in the newspaper for being one of the big parking ticket scoff laws. Wade.
For Wade's Auto.
You got 132 tickets.
Not for Wade's Auto. I don't.
For Wade's Detail Shop.
Yeah. There's no such thing as Wade's Detail Shop.
Is that you? Wait. The company at the address the city provided is named Wade's Automotive, and its owner. He said his name was Lamont. Call him back.
How did he not? I mean, nobody said anything about Wade's.
He's trying to bullshit.
He brought it up. He brought it up, though. No one said anything about it.
He did.
Jerk.
Lamont, you're not fooling me.
Lamont, was that the son on?
Sanford's son.
Sanford's son, yeah.
Which makes me trust him a little bit more.
Hello?
Hey, Lamont, we got it disconnected.
Yeah, you said Wade's Detail Shop. There's no such thing as Wade's Detail Shop.
No, we said nothing about the detail shop.
The company at the address with the vehicle is called Wade's Automotive, and they mentioned you're Lamont Wade, and so that's why. I was just trying to find out if there's any reason that these tickets might be fake, or do you think you got them? Do you think they were put on your car when
you
they should have been?
You said Wade's Automotive or Wade's Detail?
Wade's Automotive, and the owner being Lamont Wade, and I know you're Lamont, so I figured I was in the right place.
Big dummy.
And I'm not saying that you got the tickets. I'm just saying they said in the paper that you had 132 parking tickets.
What's that in the background?
I'm sorry?
What?
What's that in the background?
That's just another person on the radio show. That's Mark.
Hi.
But we're just trying to find out maybe, Lamont, if somebody might have used your car that shouldn't have used it, maybe ran up some tickets.
We don't have any cars registered upon a Wade's Auto.
There's no car that's listed under Wade's Automotive?
No, there's no vehicles listed up under Wade's Automotive.
They really got this messed up then. Have you ever gotten a parking ticket yourself then? Maybe that's the mix-up.
No.
You never had one?
No.
You must be shocked at this, though.
What radio station is this?
It's the Drew and Mark program. It's the Drew and Mike podcast, actually, here in Ferndale.
Okay.
And we were trying to reach any of the parking ticket people on the list, and we saw Lamont that the Wade's Automotive was on there, and so we wanted to give you a call and see if you could add something to the story.
What was that in the background?
Wow. Was that an ambulance or something?
Are you okay, sir? You big dummy.
Lamont?
Oh, that's a new one. I kind of like that.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Was that his big exit?
Well, yeah. It's kind of. He must have the same air horn as ML Elric. That's got the siren on it.
Pretty clever.
What a dick.
Is that a big fake out?
Go pay your bills. Oh, you think? Yes, Drew.
No, I mean the siren.
Yes.
Well, he's got a siren on his phone he can play to
no,
freak people out?
No, he's probably got a siren like ML's bullhorn and decided just to crank it down the phone line. I kind of admire.
What kind of a game plan was that? It worked.
Touche, Lamont.
It freaked me out. there was a cop in the vicinity.
Well played. Yeah.
Call Lamont back?
Hopefully to arrest him for not paying
find out
his
if he's
fucking
okay.
bills.
Oh, you call him Rent-A-Ride?
I think it's time to lay the hammer down on Lamont.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi. Is this Rent-A-Ride?
Yeah.
Is this Sam?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Sam, how you doing? This is Drew and Mark calling on the Drew and Mike podcast program. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, thanks. On the Witch Club?
Pardon me?
I said, what were you calling on?
I'm trying to reach Sam.
Yes, this is Sam. What
hey,
were you
Sam.
Calling for regarding
what? Well, I was calling because you guys were listed as having one of the most parking tickets in all of Detroit in the newspaper story today. I just wanted to see if there was some kind of a mistake, maybe.
Well, I would imagine it wasn't due to my negligence of parking in the wrong places. I would imagine the rent-a-car people have been parking in bad places. Now, what?
Oh, so these clowns rent cars from you. They get all kinds of parking tickets, and they turn the car in and act like, I didn't do anything wrong.
No, I wouldn't say that they were clowns. I never insinuated that. But you're taking it out of context.
I was calling. I was saying
Instead of interrupting me, allow me to speak, please.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Hey, take the floor.
No, please, give me your name.
Wait, why am I in trouble now? I didn't get any parking tickets.
Well, there you go. At least you're innocent.
No, Sam, it's Drew and Mark calling. We do a podcast radio show.
Oh, okay.
And we were reading about all the top ticket scoff laws in Detroit, and because the car is listed to rent a ride, you guys come up. But I didn't figure you were getting the parking tickets.
Now, just to be totally clear on this, what is the title of the cars that have had the parking ticket? Like, who were they titled to?
It looks like it was titled to Rent a Ride of Livonia.
Okay, well, that would be my business.
Oh, wait. No, it says distinction belongs to Rent-A-Ride USA of Warren, now a defunct company. A representative for a successor owner of the company said the previous company went out of business and several owners later is now known as Rent-A-Ride of Livonia.
No, that would be inaccurate. I can assure you of that.
Okay, so you don't think you got any parking tickets in on your cars?
Well, I didn't say that I don't think I have any parking tickets, but I have been addressing the parking tickets that have been coming in the mail.
Oh, I see.
I send the lease agreement in and a copy of the person's driver's license.
Dig it.
And hope that the authorities would follow up and go after the proper parties.
Oh, now how?
Excuse me, sir. Reiterate once again, Rent-A-Ride USA is no affiliation of me. I did not buy or purchase their assets, nor did I buy their business. I simply took over a location that was for rent. Mm.
And
can you just pay your bills anyway?
Rent-A-Ride. I'm sorry, sir. What?
Sam, when you when somebody gets a parking ticket, in other words, you send that information to the parking ticket people so they know who to go after. So it's not you. In other words, they go after the driver of the vehicle.
Correct. When the letter comes in the mail,
what a joke.
I go do my duty to find out who was in the car or who rented the car at that time. And then I send in the rental agreement and a copy of their driver's license, simply explaining that this is a rental car and this is the person that rented the car for that particular date and time.
Do you think that they decide, well, it's much easier to go after you instead of going after all those drivers? Because it's your car, because you own the car? Maybe they do that? Just guessing.
You know, you're asking me a question, and in my opinion, what's easier is probably to go after the business who the car is titled to, but it is a rental car, so I'm not in all these cars at those perfect times.
Sure.
Other people are in them.
But legally, at the end of the day, in terms of the legal system, are the drivers ultimately responsible in a court of law, or would they go after you too?
Well, I guess that's questionable. In most incidences, when I do send in the rental car agreement and a copy of their driver's license, they acknowledge it and then say that they're going to go after the person that had rented the car.
Hmm. Yeah, that seems like a lot of hassle to go after all those drivers because it sounds like people get tickets like crazy. I mean, are people extra sloppy when it's a rental about parking and paying for their parking space, in your opinion?
Well, I think that since it's not really titled to them,
people
take advantage of it. I'm not really sure which ones. You know, I really couldn't tell you whether they were sloppy or not.
I think they just think Sam can pay it for
it. It does happen quite often. Now, if you look at my personal record,
nobody cares.
I probably haven't had a parking ticket in several years. I mean, I'm sure we could look it up.
Right.
But if I did, I always rectified it and paid my fine.
Yeah, because you know the car's in your name, but these people, maybe they're driving your car and they're going, hey, this car's in Sam's name, so I'm not going to pay his parking ticket.
You know they're driving it like madmen, too. Because it's not their car.
But they're not clowns.
They rag on it.
Yeah, how do people...
Certainly,
Sam?
Never did I insinuate that they were clowns.
I know. I know. We're clear on that.
Yeah.
How do you think people treat rental cars? Do you think they drive them less responsibly than their own car? I mean, I guess it's pretty obvious. What a dumb question.
Well, it's pretty much like the other business I was in, the limousine industry. When you rent something, or, for instance, a tuxedo, if you rent a tuxedo, you'll probably take care of it like it's your own, and you're going to dry clean it and hang it back up in your closet once the event is finished.
Oh, God, no.
They probably do take advantage of it, and, you know, maybe cigarette burns or ketchup stains on a tuxedo.
Or only one cuff link, or only one shoe.
What a bunch of animals.
Well, they're animals, but you know your humor,
but not clowns.
It's good. That's great.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be serious about this, or we're going to use humor, I can be just as funny.
Oh, go ahead. Let it all hang out, Sam.
Or both.
No, we're just, you know, it's a parking ticket thing. We were just kind of having fun with it. But, you know, most people aren't willing to talk about it. I respect the fact that at least you're willing to discuss it. And we understand it's not you getting the parking tickets.
Yeah. Well, so, it's the nature of the business, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And were you in the tuxedo rental business before? Is that what you were saying?
My family was, and I worked there for several years, yeah.
Oh, what was that business called?
It was called Randazzo Formal Wear.
Oh, okay. I remember you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Successful 65 years of being in the formal wear business.
Hey, were you guys in the limousine business, too?
I certainly was.
Yeah, I remember. I think we've been in your limousines before.
He ragged on them, too.
No,
he abused them.
Never, never, never. Never got a parking ticket in one either.
Because they weren't his. Those cigarette burns were all his.
No. Never happened, Sam. Hey, well, listen.
All right.
Hey, I appreciate the time and the information. It's very helpful.
All right. Feel free to call me at any time. I appreciate you calling.
You bet.
Right,
and if we need a rental car, we'll come to you.
All right.
Thanks, Sam.
Just don't park in any appropriate spot, all right?
No, but we will rag the hell out of it. We're going to drive like madmen.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Hey, at least Sam's willing to discuss. He's willing to come to the phone and talk about it.
I mean, he'd be a little pissed off if he's attached to it.
He's not hiding behind the name of his business like some people.
Didn't play a siren down the line. Not surprisingly, Wade's Automotive in Detroit has 2.9 stars.
Oh, is that right?
The way you treat customers.
Is there a one star?
Costomes.
Is there a one-star review?
That's what I'm reading. The way you, just the letter you, treat customers. 14 months to put an engine in, that's sad. That's why you can't give black people business. You needs to be closed down. That was from Miss Law, 1969.
Whoa.
This shop had my car for 4 months and expected full payment. He lies and is very rude. I can attest to his rudeness. Lamont Wade of Wade Auto is by far, in my opinion, the worst mechanic to walk the face of this earth.
What?
For starters, he had my car exactly 1 year.
1 year? Hey, wait, I think I saw this story on Fox, too.
Seriously?
Well, there was a story just like it.
The whole timing, telling me that it would be done within a week. Each time I called, he had some jive-ass excuse about a different part needing to be swapped out. But I took the car to him to have the engine replaced, so there would be no needing to have any parts swapped out. I should have just changed the entire engine. It took me to call the Judge Alex show to attempt to recoup some of my money. I lost my vehicle.
The Judge Alex show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember when he coached Ohio State when they went 6-6, Judge Alex?
Judge Alex?
Yeah.
Is that who it was?
I think so. I think he's the defensive coordinator now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Look it up.
It's crazy.
He told me, the screener for the Judge Alex show, that he'd never seen my car, but the next day he called me and told me they wasn't going to be able to fix my car and I can come and get it. When I went to pick up my car, he told me he wouldn't have give any of the deposit back because he had the replacement engine in the car and he just didn't have the time to put it in. After 1 year, he didn't have the time? What the fuck? So I took the car to another mechanic to have the replacement motor put in that I got from Lamont Wade of Wade Auto. The motor wasn't even the correct motor for the car. That's the end. There's a bunch of them. Yeah.
And we could put a complaint in there, a one-star review, saying that he plays sirens down the phone at you and doesn't want to talk anymore.
Yeah, apparently he keeps cars for a long time.
Oh, boy. What's the advantage of doing that? I mean, that doesn't help anyone. You don't get paid.
This is the story. One star. I went to Wade because he's in the neighborhood. I figured I could get a good deal. I took it to him, and he said it was the thermostat that was making it run hot. Now, looking at it, I don't think he took the thermostat out. He touched, but then he told me the hose was making it run hot, that I paid him to fix that. Then he said it was the water pump. I paid him to fix that. I rode past his shop. This is where I think he gets funny. I rode past his shop. Instead of him fixing my truck, he was working on someone who just pulled up. I said, "What's up?" He said, "You're right. I should be working on your truck. I'll do it tomorrow." Again, he said tomorrow. Went back the same next day. He had my truck going on a month and didn't fix the problem. Called him after seeing my truck parked on the street. He said it had been ready for 3 days. Lies! My truck was unlocked. I had an extra pair of keys, and I took my own truck. He's mad. My truck is worse now. Messed up steering, antifreeze going in, the residue tank backing up.
Uh-oh.
He fixed nothing, made it worse.
Not good.
I love that the guy drives by and his car's sitting on the street unlocked.
Yeah, this is reminiscent of my my realistic stereo at Radio Shack for years. It was literally years it was there. Because I got it fixed. It took over a year to get it fixed, and then I got it back, and it broke immediately.
Ah.
And I took it back, and it was there for another year.
Oh.
It never played in two channels again, ever.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, not for more than like 10 minutes. Actually, if you stuck a pack of matches in
that?
This one part, you could make it play in two channels, like maybe for 30 minutes, but one of those deals. Well, I'm impressed that Sam talked to us, actually. That's so funny, though, that he sends the rental agreement and a picture of the driver's license to them. And don't you think they just go, yeah, whatever, and they just add it to his total? I mean, he owes some insane amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. 10,000. No, not 10,000. He owes a lot. I don't know what the total is. Mm. I lost my place.
Do you want to hear about the Orgy Dome?
At Burning Man?
At Burning Man, yeah. Currently going on right now.
Why not?
The Orgy Dome is... At Burning Man, they have different, like, tents or camps. They call them camps where different crazy things go on. So one of them, though, is the Orgy Dome. And it's an air-conditioned... tent, basically, where guests can get it on in groups of two or more.
Get it on.
They said last year they had about 9,000 people participate in the Orgy
Dome.
Yeah, and only 70,000 attend Burning Man.
I mean, how lit up is this place?
Let me find it. Well, first off, the fact that it's air-conditioned has to be a major draw, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just because you're in the middle of the desert and it's hot as hell.
It's freaking me out seeing a football game on TV.
I know, isn't it great? Tennessee's losing, by the way, to App State. Tennessee,
are they really?
Everybody's favorite dark horse this year. Yeah, they fumbled the punt earlier when I was watching. It's only first quarter. The Lions are winning, by the way, in case you care.
Oh, wonderful. An exhibition victory would be so nice.
There's no one there.
As there shouldn't be.
Oh, I know. So the Orgy Dome, 24-hour air-conditioned tent at the 8-day festival. It's said to feature massage tables, mattresses with clean sheets, lubricant, condoms, and sofas. So, yeah, 70,000 people, 9,000 last year. It was so popular that some of the visitors had to line up to get in.
No kidding. Lining up to get into an orgy? Wow.
Exactly. One visitor on Reddit described, this is their description of it. It's got a nice setup, clean towels, cushions, moderate climate control. Everything you'd want in an orgy. Visitors are met by staff who ensure they're entering the dome with a partner. No singles allowed. It's a plus one. The Reddit user warned that it's generally not a writhing pile of 10 or 15 naked bodies, as the name might suggest. Usually, the dome is occupied by couples with threesomes or moresomes. The Orgy Dome fan said it largely is for people that keep to themselves, but partner swapping takes place sometimes. Festival goer added, usually there's some people watching on the edges. Voyeurism and having an audience is definitely in play here. So no, that's going on. If someone's bothering you, most of the time they'll stop when you ask. Although the tent staff is happy to help resolve any uncomfortable problems that arise. Who is working the tent? What tent staff do you have at the Orgy Dome at Burning Man?
I know.
Who's working the Orgy Dome?
That's pretty intense.
And then Cosmopolitan actually has...
What's that, Jay? Is that that's an interview with the couple behind the Orgy Dome?
That's what it looks like.
You want to hear the people who invented this, I guess? Or
sure.
They're behind it. See what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
funky fuck music. Orgy Dome, come with me. C-U-M.
I'm Shade.
I'm Lefty.
And we
it's not your real
are
names.
The coordinators of And Then There's Only Love.
A Burning Man theme camp with our major playa gift is the Orgy Dome.
These aren't people you want to be in an orgy with, by the way.
For the past 11 years.
And we are partners of 25 years. And we are excited about what we get to create together with so many other wonderful people.
The Orgy Dome is a sex-positive, consensual space for all couples for and more sums to love and play.
The reason I love these people is it's kind of a place you can come and you can... You can come and you can absolutely be yourself, 100%.
Go ahead, honey.
And it really doesn't matter if you don't fit into this group or that group, or because there isn't, like, there isn't a type. There just is a group of people.
The
thing that we all have in common is we just want to love and be loved.
No, you want to fuck.
And that's the most important thing. And as long as that's something that you can give to one another, which everybody here can.
Don't you kind of, if you were going to go to the Orgy Dome, wouldn't you hope there'd be showers? You're out at Burning Man.
Kind of blossom.
You just feel like everyone smells there and is covered in dirt.
I feel so comfortable with myself. And experiencing this safe sex space with all these beautiful people has really...
Knock all the beautiful people stuff off. I don't see any people that hot in this thing.
Paris Hilton was there.
And seeing how
she's not in the orgy dome, though.
Everyone else defines their own sexuality and how that creates this light inside of them.
No, she's gonna learn about her
sexuality
in the orgy dome.
That we
I don't
have
know, but get her some water. She had nasty cotton mouth.
This gift has provided a safe, inclusionary, and exploratory environment for couples and moresomes to share.
Okay, well,
we've been to Burning Man.
That's their version of it. That's their version of it. You want to hear from people that actually went in?
Yeah, let me just see a little tiny bit more of this.
All right. The theme you're really into the safe sex aspect and the consent? The of,
no.
You know, togetherness and openness.
So that
and,
seems to be what they're into.
And just breaking down constructs of hiding and keeping yourself...
Constructs of hiding?
In the bedroom only.
Because we love each other and we love people. Like, everybody would come...
You're the one who's giving up much in terms of the orgy dome. You're bound to get somebody hotter.
Being able to share our love with people who are willing to accept it.
Our love...
It just
stop saying it's all about really love.
Let's face it, at Black Rock City, tents get dusty and dirty. That's far from romantic. And if you're sharing an
showers?
RV, somehow it's easier to be in a dome full of sexy strangers than it is to be with your roommates.
Yeah, please don't talk when you're having sex with people. I couldn't listen to her.
And to learn about yourself and experience.
Especially knowing she's just there to be
or experienced
not
before.
Dirty.
It's a place that's magic really? And glorious and gorgeous. And there's a lot of other people with a lot of other scents and smells and touches.
Once again, that's the black chick, right?
No, this is a white chick.
Oh, it is.
She's actually kind of
as an advocate for free speech and
because that girl needs some water, too. She had bad cotton mouth.
TTOL offers to the playa is a really amazing thing. We teach people to be sexually social. We teach them that there's no stigma necessary.
Whatever. You just want to bang.
I don't
want to
learn
anything. You just want to bang some chicks.
Yeah.
We like to think that we're opening people's minds to better ways of living.
My favorite.
Why do they have to act like it's this big educational experience?
I don't know.
Screwing!
I honestly feel like this video ruined the orgy dome.
Come on, it's about sucking and fucking. And you know it.
And just being a part of our camp, even if it's for a few moments.
Ugh.
Thank you so much
Ill.
For all your support throughout the year.
Enough of these skanks.
And I hope you continue.
Thank you. Okay, Mark, what's the real story?
Allie, 26, production assistant in Los Angeles, California. The night we went to the Orgy Dome, the line was super long. I didn't realize there was such a process to get in. Of course, we were interviewed to make sure we were sober enough to consent. See, there's the consent.
Oh, please, as if they give a shit.
You still need to ask, can I touch your breasts? Can I go down on you? Can I fuck you both in the butt? Consent is an actual line in this article. Consent is an active process that can be removed at any point. I'm glad they did have the entry process, but I didn't expect them to take it so seriously. She clearly didn't watch the video. It's like the DMV. You get a number, then you talk to one guy, who, and then you have to take a test on the rules. Then you wait some more. We had done some Molly and ketamine. Not a full dose, just a bump. Waiting in line for an hour sober would have been horrible. But I guess I would have preferred that to have been more sober during the experience, so it would have been easier to come.
Inside the main space is a mattress on either side of the main walkway. I was comfortable right away. You can see a lot of other people having sex. It becomes pretty easy to feel like you can do it too. We got right down to business. You aren't supposed to sit around and watch because that would be creepy. Oh, that's the creepy.
Oh, yeah.
That's the creepy part, honey. I need
you've got a dick in every orifice and you're not creepy.
Listen to this high maintenance chick. I need a lot of concentration to come, and it just wasn't happening.
Well, there's 9,000 people in the room. Exactly. Jesus Christ.
Honestly, sex after a week and a half on the playa is not really all that sexy. My thighs were chapped from riding my bike.
Gross!
Which made some of the sex a bit uncomfortable. I also had an ingrown hair from trying to shave in my tent without enough soap and water.
Ew!
So I was self-conscious about that, too.
Ooh!
How self-conscious do you think she was? What kind of crazy stuff do you think she did?
Oh, come on, baby.
I think she got over it.
The boys Eiffel Towered me, meaning I was on my knees between them, giving one oral sex while the other penetrated me from behind.
Oh, how nice.
Then we got the idea for them to double penetrate me, which I hadn't done before.
DP?
But we didn't have the lube required and gave up pretty fast. The guys used a vibrator on me when we got back to camp later, and that did the trick. Oof.
Good for you.
Oof. It was all about getting her off, and boy, what a lot of work.
I know. I'm surprised these guys hung in there.
Yeah, especially with that ingrown hair. Well, they are dudes. Here's Allie's partner, Dan. I'm always down for the orgy dome, but I've never put all my hopes on it or anything. Hey, if it happens, it happens. It's air conditioned, unlike most places on the playa, which is a big plus.
Yeah, and cool off. If I don't blow a load, I can still cool off.
Dan's there. Dan's a guy's guy. If sex happens, it happens, but I'm really there for the air conditioning. The organizers are careful to make sure everyone who goes in intends to have sex. They just don't want anyone hanging out for the air conditioning. If anyone does, they're asked to leave.
Oh.
Some areas are designated for couples. Other sections are labeled open for more, meaning those couples can be approached by others who want to join in. Yeah, Allie and I weren't together then. We've been friends for a long time.
I just want to interrupt you for one second to say that Dan, you know, when they asked him to leave because he was just standing there absorbing the air conditioning, he's the kind of guy that would have said, well, what if I just stand here and beat off? Is that okay? Can I stay then?
No, they go, hey, we asked you that in the hour you waited in line and you said no. There was no expectation of anything sexual, just getting effed up and having a party. The lighting's low and nice. There's nice drapes and comfy couches and pillows. They provided lube and condoms. I suspect Dan really just wanted to take a nap in the air conditioning. The low light, the comfy couches and pillows.
Yeah.
Let's see. At the time, we were pretty familiar with each other, so it worked out great. I've been in several threesomes before, and I've enjoyed the dynamic that Allie and I have. Even though she had a gross, disgusting ingrown hair.
Oh, did she really say that? You really said that. Okay.
I might add that.
I had a feeling.
We've always had a thing about trying to Eiffel Tower, although it started as a joke.
Like most, it was a joke until she sounded into it.
Yeah. Now he realized he had to bang and he just wanted to take a nap. I was excited to be there, especially because it's a rare thing to have sex with Allie because she lived in Chicago back then.
What?
Anything would have been great, even though when we did try to do double penetration, it really didn't work out. It never was, never has when I've...
It's more than enough lube, right?
It didn't work out. Never has when I tried it. Dan's implying that he's huge. Overall, it was a good experience. Pretty funny. First, we walked in the space as it was being vacated, and there was a group of campmates who were leaving. They were like, funny seeing you here. Kept it warm for you.
Oh, nice. Lovely. Oh,
that's disgusting. Jocelyn, 28, pastry chef, Portland, Oregon. The orgy dome at Burning Man was the first time I met my husband, Luke.
No! You met your husband at the orgy dome at Burning Man?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's really romantic.
All kinds of people are there. Young, old, all different types of body types and nationalities. It's dark and there's sensual music playing in the background. You can practically taste the sexual tension. I don't think it's the sexual tension you're tasting.
Nope.
Honestly, for us, it started in the waiting area before you're admitted to the actual dome. I was getting my head, neck, and shoulders massaged by one person and my feet and legs massaged by another.
Oh, nice getting it on in the waiting area. You're so horny you can't even wait in the waiting area.
What a total chick. This is like, all while holding hands with someone else.
Taste good.
Of course, these guys have to be all grabby because they're in line for hours. The six of us were giving each other small kisses, and everyone was giggling and excited. It was all very natural for us, which was amazing.
It is not natural.
Once they call your group name, you remove jackets and shoes. It's like the J.O.'s. It's like the Jacks, right?
Yeah.
They're stored for you in a cubby outside the dome. It's dimly lit inside, air conditioned, and the ground is made of those black rubberized puzzle piece floor tiles. There are several mattresses, each with fresh sheets.
And how does anyone find their clothes, by the way, when the mandatory clothes check?
You got a cubby. It's clearly labeled.
Parade,
pud pool, and picker pageant.
You just have to keep track of that tag.
Okay, good luck with that.
Entrants are also encouraged to use baby wipes and hand sanitizers.
Oh.
We're probably there for over an hour. The six of us shared one mattress.
Gross. You pigs.
At one point, I was being fingered by one of the guys while his wife was going down on Luke. Luke's her husband. Luke and I were just looking at each other the whole time like, oh my God, this is rad.
I will play my butt.
Oh, no, I loved it. Everyone running the camera.
This is rad.
All right. Well, last one is her partner, Luke. I've been to Burning Man 3 times. I like to go every other year so I don't get too exhausted.
Did you like it?
The orgy dome's one of my favorite theme camps.
He needs 2 years to recover from Burning Man.
From Burning Man, yeah.
He can't go every year.
Yeah. Wow. Apparently. We had this moment early on in the week when we were hanging out with these two other couples and just realized that we all really were into each other. I pulled Jocelyn aside and said, hey, is it just me or do we need to invite them to the orgy dome? She was immediately into it, so we asked them that night. The chemistry we shared was unreal. I think I've experienced the best oral of my life that night. Okay. Slow down, bud. That's a little hyperbole. Your best oral was not in the orgy dome at Burning Man. We had all been drinking, so probably helped ever loosen everyone up. I was happy with my decision to abstain from other drugs, because it meant I didn't have to worry about incompetence.
I think I saw his butthole.
Yes, incompetence.
That's what it's in quotes. So he said incompetence. While I didn't interact with men by sucking or fucking, I definitely made out with a few of them, which tends to be my MO during group play.
Making out with people?
Guys. He said, I didn't interact with men by sucking or fucking.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I definitely made out with them. That being said, if a guy grabbed me or started giving me oral, I wouldn't recoil.
You know how this subject with guys.
The experience of it seems like it'd be worth giving a shot.
Lovely.
And then he started coming on to me.
Everyone was already so close as friends that it made us that much closer. So then he goes on about how great it was and how much he learned.
Get on your knees and get on it.
We all felt empowered, happy, and wild.
Gacy's got the idea.
It's not a love affair. The object is that you're both getting your run.
I don't know. I think Dan's got the idea. You escape from Burning Man outside and you go in the orgy dome and take a nap.
Oh, the guy who wants to cool off? For sure.
And then when they yell at you, pound off. Yeah, what if I just pound off over here in the corner?
No problem. Man.